Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if any of you have ever been really hungry. And when I say really hungry, I don't mean just the kind of hunger you have from simply missing a meal, or maybe how you feel when you are fasting overnight, perhaps to have your cholesterol count taken. And I don't mean even what it means to feel when you go like without food, even for more than a day. You're probably uncomfortable in all of those circumstances. You're feeling that little emptiness in your stomach, maybe a little growling. But these are all situations in which it's basically in your control whether you eat or not. Usually food is available for you to take if you really want to. But real hunger means not having the option to eat. It means not having enough today, and maybe not having anything at all tomorrow. Too many people in our world know what it is like to be really hungry. There are internet stories about people eating dirt because they are so hungry. I'm sure you've seen the pictures of toddlers that have those distended bellies that look like they should be fat, but they're just bellies that are completely empty, and they have the reddish hair of malnutrition. That's real hunger. There are stories in the Bible about cities under siege that consider or maybe even resort to cannibalism. That is real hunger. And we should not think that hunger, real hunger, is a problem of other times or other countries. It can even happen in this country as well. I read a story about a little girl who wasn't concentrating at school, and her teacher asked her, well, did you have breakfast today? And the little girl said, well, it wasn't my turn to have breakfast. That's real hunger. And I don't know what that is like. I've never experienced that. I don't know what it is like to be so hungry that your brain doesn't work or your body doesn't grow properly. And especially for children, we know this, that hunger and malnutrition can have lasting effects. These effects, it can keep them from developing as they should, keep them from becoming as smart as they could be. No one deserves to be hungry like that. That kind of hunger is an enemy. And the world actually has the resources to fight that kind of hunger. The world even has the capacity to eradicate hunger if we can find the commitment to do so. We don't want that kind of hunger. However, less extreme kinds of hunger can be important for us sometimes. If we don't know when we are hungry, we may not know also when we are full. And we may find ourselves eating for all sorts of reasons that have nothing to do with providing our bodies with fuel. On a spiritual level, if we don't know some kind of spiritual hunger, how can we know what we need, that we need what God provides? How can we know what Jesus means when he says, I am the bread of life? And how can we respond to him if we are not spiritually hungry? All four of the Gospels have some version of this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. A crowd has gathered, and they're hungry. There are just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but that turns out to be enough to feed them all with 12 baskets left over. It is a miracle of God's abundance. But the question, the story does raise for me a question, and I have to wonder to myself, are these 5,000 people really hungry, or were they just being kind of inconvenienced? Were they caught away from home without a snack? Or do they have really nothing to sustain them, no matter where they are? Are they really hungry? Regardless, Jesus takes the loaves and the fish, and he gives thanks. and he distributes them to all who are gathered there, so that all have as much as they want. And this certainly catches everybody's attention, this feeding, this miracle, this amazing abundance, this fullness after hunger. The crowd recognizes this as a sign. They recognize that Jesus is a prophet, and so they follow him. They follow him even across the sea the next day, because hunger is a strong motivator, and Jesus has gotten the crowd's attention as a provider of food. However, we have to wonder, are they following him for the right reason or the wrong reason? Jesus raises that question. Are they just looking for more free bread? Even though they have been satisfied, are they just wanting to stuff themselves with more? Well, no decent person would begrudge food to the hungry. Food's a basic need, a right. Jesus certainly isn't putting down food. But maybe that crowd just isn't really hungry. Maybe they just want that cheap thrill, the free meal, the dramatic miracle. Or maybe Jesus has awoken a true spiritual hunger in them. Maybe after a diet of junk food, they smell Jesus, the fresh, wholesome smell of bread, and they can't get enough. We all know that the aroma of good bread cooking can make you hungry. And so the aroma of Jesus can make you hungry for the life that he gives. It's nourishment from the Father, after all. Not just life after death, but life, nourishment now. Jesus has definitely gotten the crowd's attention. Does he have your attention? Are you hungry for Jesus? Are you willing to follow him wherever he goes, even to cross the sea for him? Are you willing to go deep in faith for Jesus? It can be hard to go deep in faith in our rational world. We want to be able to explain everything, and so we explain away stories like the feeding of the 5,000, and we say things like, oh, they just brought out food to share. Well, maybe they did. But isn't that a miracle in and of itself? In the same way, we tend to explain away our spiritual yearnings. And we put our spiritual desires perhaps on a level with our desires for entertainment or our curiosity. And we do not always know how truly malnourished we really are. In order to be willing to follow Jesus shamelessly, to ask for the bread of life that he offers, you have to be really hungry. You have to be hungry for meaning, for nourishment, for salvation. Hungry for that which Jesus alone provides. And it is often those who have hit rock bottom who can do that. They are the ones who know how truly bad off they are. They are the ones who are shameless. They are the ones who can ask for the bread of life eagerly and mean it. They are the ones who know that without Jesus, they are dead. Without his bread of life, there is no life. This is who Jesus is. He is the one who comes from the Father to feed us, to fill our deepest needs. And he comes to teach us how to turn toward the needs of our neighbor, not to hoard all the bread for ourselves, but to just take enough. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 takes place around the time of the Passover, and the crowds actually remind Jesus of that. They say, perform a miracle for us, like God did when the Hebrews had left Egypt and he provided the manna in the wilderness. To the Israelites in the wilderness, each gathered enough manna according to their need. And those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered little had enough. Of the bread of heaven there is enough for all. And that's what our Lord says to us. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. There is enough of the bread that Jesus provides, enough for all, enough for a lifetime. And so as we gather at this table in a few minutes, we are nourished anew for our journey of faith. We are given God's resources, not just for us, but for the feeding of all our world. There is food enough for spiritual hunger, ours and that of others, and there is food enough that we have access to combat physical hunger as well. And so I invite you, come to Jesus, all who are hungry. You will be fed, and you will feed others. You will have your deepest needs met, and you will learn to meet the deepest needs of others. You will have life, and you will give life. All because you have been fed by Jesus, the bread of life, the bread come down from heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.